have your Bibles this morning. I want you to look at a couple of words, one primarily. If you'll notice in this passage, our text, Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God, the second word is rule. The word rule is to be king in your life. In other words, let it be that which tells you what to do, and let it be the one you submit to. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, I want you to notice that happens in three ways. We're going to look at that this morning. But you'll notice this word peace, arene, is to, the root word is to join. In other words, it's one or two parts, it's two or three parts rather, more than one, that come together in unity. It's harmony. Peace is when things are at a tranquil state in the heart. Okay? Everybody in this room needs peace to sleep at night. Many a person can't sleep during the night. Too many things going on. How many have ever had, you try to lay down, but your mind is racing and just can't seem to turn it off? You know what I'm talking about? Well, there's one thing when you're busy. Another thing is whenever you and I get things in our life that take away our peace, we're not together. Either we're not together with the Lord. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 5. I want you to see this verse. Notice with me, if you Romans chapter 5. The peace, let it rule in your heart. Now notice chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that verse has got a lot to it. You could probably preach a month on that verse. But you'll notice if you were therefore being justified, being declared righteous by God, being declared perfect by God, well, you can go to heaven. We know that we're not, but God declares us righteous according to the law. How does he do that? Well, you'll notice in the last part of the verse, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who pays our debt of sin. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 2. I want you to notice this verse, Ephesians chapter 2. Notice with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Notice in verse number 14, for he is our peace. Look in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, in other words, there was no peace between you and the Lord, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one. He's brought you and I together with his Father and hath broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that the rich man died and went to hell. When he did, Lazarus, who was a poor man laid at his gate, went to heaven. He had put his faith and trust in the Lord. Now follow with me. The scripture says there's a great gulf fixed between you and him. And that great gulf is our sin. That's the reason the Bible says in Ephesians that the Lord has brought us together, made us one. Because there's a time when all of us are opposite the Lord. There is no peace. There is no togetherness. There is no settledness. Now, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let your heart say, I've got to have peace with God. Has there been a time when you've come to the Lord Jesus and you've said, I am a sinner? Look back in Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 5. But notice, if you would, verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, the ungodly is all of us in this room. Look over in chapter 3, Romans chapter 3. Look, if you would, in verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Who's the they? Look in verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. That's all of us. The they is us. We have not known the way of peace. But when Jesus died for us, he made the way of peace to us. He offered out an olive leaf to us and said, would you trust me as your Savior? I'll take my blood and apply it to your debt and wipe away your debt, and there can be peace between you and I. The great gulf is bridged. The wall of partition between us is broken down. That's the reason the Bible says in Matthew, whenever Jesus died, it is finished. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Very significant. Not from the bottom up, but God ripped it from the top down, saying, now there's nothing between you and I if you'll trust me. The debt is paid. Do you have peace with God? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. There are people in our church that I know from time to time have struggled with the peace of God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Salvation is simple. It's hard, but it's simple. The reason it's hard is because we have to humble ourselves before God. And we have to say, I'm sorry for my sin. If we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. So mankind wants to do something to get to heaven. I'm not all that bad. Take my good and my bad and weigh it out. Let me light some candles. Let me do something. Let me go on a pilgrimage, something to work my way to heaven. The Lord says, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Salvation is simple. You accept Christ's payment on the cross, or you pay for your own sin in hell. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord offers every one of us in this room the simple salvation that is so hard. It's hard because you have to throw away everything that you have that's good. You don't know the way of peace. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 3. Look what he says in verse number 14. Verse 13. Their throat's an open sepulcher. Our mouth is full of just dead things. We notice, with their tongues they have used deceit. We are deceitful. The poison of asp is under their lips. We say things that are hurtful. Notice verse 14, where our mouth, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's all of us in this room. All of us are guilty. And notice, if you would, in verse number 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. We're on the way to hell. Misery forever. The way of peace have they not known. And notice, if you would, verse number 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. How many of you like to drive in D.C.? Okay, I see one hand. Chris, I need to see you after service. Check your mental capacity, I think. Do you understand? You used to be a bus driver, so he understands that. Every time I go to D.C., I get a ticket for something, it seems like. You know, those roads, one time you go this way, it's between 6 and 8. Between 9 and 10, you go that way. And you can park here between 3 and 9, but you can't park here between 9 and 12. And so I'm always trying to read the sign. I park there, I don't park there. So last time I went there, I paid $63 just to get into a parking garage so nobody had told me, so I could do the right thing. Yesterday, got a $150 ticket. They said you ran a red light. Which light? I didn't see it. No matter. You know what? I'm trying to work through that ticket. My driving record's perfect. Actually, I found out something about my wife. The ticket came to her. She said, I wasn't driving. Threw me under the bus that quick, you know. I said, okay, turn my name in, okay. So she turned my name in and says, you know, I've got a clean driving record for 49 years, but my husband was driving. I said, thank you, that's really helpful. So I'm having to deal with this ticket. I was driving, but how many of you know when you're down there looking for a place to park, you're looking, am I turning right or am I turning left, or can you go this way or can you not go this way? Is it one way? Is that one way? And I must have been looking like that, and I missed the light and drove through it. I'm sure that's what happened. But every time I go to D.C., that happens. Something happens. I try my best. I mean, I'm not trying to break the law. I'm not trying to park in the wrong place. I'm not trying to run a red light or what. Maybe it was a right on red. I don't know if you could do right on red in D.C. I don't know. Maybe I did that. But all I'm saying, maybe I just roll through a red light. I'm thinking, trying to figure out where it is. And, oh, just so frustrating. You know what? I think God is frustrated with us. Pittman, you just can't do things right. I know, Lord, I'm a sinner. For all have sinned. Now, the Lord Jesus said, but I'll take care of it for you. He said, I'll pay your debt of sin. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want you to this great verse. 1 John chapter 2. It'll encourage you. Notice 1 John chapter 2. Look in verse number 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. See, I don't want you to sin. Now follow with me. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, big word for the payment. He is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus says, I want to be your peace. I'll take care of your sin, get rid of it. Will you trust me? Everybody in this room, there's a date and a time that you either trusted Christ to save. You may not remember the date. You may not remember the time. You remember I was at camp or I was here or there. But everyone that's going to heaven has got one. It's called the second birth. Jesus said that. You must be born again. And nobody's born again and somebody else knows it and you don't. Because you're the only one that can personally talk to the God of heaven and say, Lord, it's me, I'm guilty, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That's the only way you get saved. And he gives you the peace with God. Let's go back and look at Romans chapter 5 one more time. Look at me if you would, verse number 1. And notice what he says, therefore being justified by faith. How do we get saved? By faith. We say, Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to forgive me by faith. I just have to trust you to take me to heaven. That's where the faith comes in. But we confess our sins. We humble ourselves. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It takes both faith and confession. Not necessarily you have to say the words out loud, but we have to say, Lord, I'm guilty. I don't deserve to go to heaven. And the peace of God is given to us. And the Bible says, he is our peace. Today, do you have peace with God? But notice, keep in mind, let your heart rule. If there's a pricking in your heart, you're not going to heaven. Get it settled today. Get peace with God. But there's a peace of God. Notice with me, if you would, look in Colossians 3:15. Again, back to our original text. I want you to go back there. We're going to look at that one very quickly. And I want you to realize here, notice if you would, verse number 15. And let the peace of God. Now, this is the kind of peace that literally, Renee, let you and the Lord agree. Peace. You and the Lord agree. And you let him rule in your heart. Notice this. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it be that there is agreement between you and God in your heart. Let that rule your decisions. Let that rule how you talk with your wife or your husband. Let that rule so that you have peace in your heart before you say something, before you do something. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It will settle all of the difficulties in this life between you and someone in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Okay? You and I have to, we come to a certain part in our life. Now, I'm going to go back and give you one example of someone that needed to be saved. Saul on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9. The Bible says he was walking with his buddies, and all of a sudden a light shined from heaven. His buddies couldn't hear, they could see the light, but they didn't hear a voice. And the voice, Jesus Christ, spoke to Saul and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." The pricks are the Holy Spirit touching your heart and mind, taking away the peace of God in our heart. Once we've been saved, daily we get up and say, "Lord, I'm sorry I had those thoughts yesterday, or I'm sorry I said those things yesterday or did this. Lord, I'm sorry I didn't give that person the gospel or give them a tract. Lord, I'm sorry. I just sorry, Lord." And the Lord takes care of that, and peace begins to come back in our heart. Peace of God. Let that rule in your daily life. Let that peace be your guide. If you say, "I'm not sure," make it right. There's a peace with God. "Lord, I want everything to be right between you and me." Now, folks, you cannot have the joy of the Lord in your heart without the peace of God in your heart. It's called the peace of God. God puts his stamp of approval on what you did yesterday, on what you did last hour, on what you thought last minute. The peace of God rule. "Okay, Lord, I won't think that thought anymore. Okay, Lord, you know, that person didn't do me right. I want to pay him back. Okay, Lord, I won't think that thought anymore." Let the peace of God rule in your heart, where he's not convicting you as you live daily. There's a lot of people that they live a pretty miserable life because the Holy Spirit's trying to convict them and they're not listening. The Holy Spirit is not being able to get you to do the right thing. He's trying to talk to you, but you're giving him a deaf ear. The peace of God is not ruling in your heart. Because when the peace of God is ruling in your heart, there's peace between you and the great God of heaven. Now, David made a great statement. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 139, if you would, Psalm 139. And here's how we gain that peace with God. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 139, one of the last psalms. Psalm 139, it's a great psalm. You'll notice, if you would. Notice, David makes a great, great statement here. Verse number one, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising." He says, "Lord, you know all about me, and I want there to be peace." So notice, if you would, in verse number 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." That's the way you maintain peace of God. You say, "Lord, I want you to search me. You point out things in my life." Now, I can honestly say, driving in D.C., I did not know, I do not remember running that red light or whatever they said I did. Okay? But I can honestly say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." I could call D.C. and say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." "We will when you pay $150. Okay? Well, then I have to pay the $150 to get peace between D.C. and me. So I may have to forgive someone like Jeanette Scott, Rick Clark, and Terry Steele for wearing their hard hats to church. Who in their right mind would do that? Well, I didn't say they were in their right minds. Okay, so we'll just keep going from there. Well, I do appreciate them promoting, but I don't know how many of you really want to be a part of Platinum Club now. That's what's worrying me. Everybody's going to wear a hard hat when we go on the Platinum Club activity. I don't know if they thought the ceiling was coming down. I don't know. But my point to you is that all of us, from time to time, do something, hurt somebody else's feelings. Now, my feelings aren't hurt. But if my feelings were hurt, Brother Rick could come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Actually, I wish I'd have bought those hard hats before they got them. That would have solved two problems. I'd have had more for people to go out there and look at the site. And two, they wouldn't have had them to be in the choir with a hard hat on. I'd have fixed both things. I look at it and I say, Lord, when somebody does something, especially me, I'm sorry, Lord. Search me. Now, I did not tell DC to search me. Okay? I probably did more things than that wrong. But I didn't mean to. So there are sins of omission, things you ought to do, and there are sins of commission. How many have ever noticed something a few days later or heard that something you did a few days later that you didn't know you did? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Okay? All right. Maybe your wife, I remember somebody in our family, they talked about, they had an acreage, and they talked about not having pigs. Don't get any pigs. The husband and wife agreed they wouldn't have any pigs. Okay, you have dogs, you have cats, but no pigs. Okay. And so the husband decided, well, I want a couple pigs. I want some bacon, and I want a couple pigs. So he goes out and puts pigs. And the little boy, he's about 6 years old. He comes running and says, Mommy, we got some pigs. She says, no, we don't have pigs. She says, they do. How do you know? Well, they got curly little tails. She says, no. She goes out there and looks, and she finds the pigs. And so they're having spaghetti and meatballs that night. And so the husband walks in. He sits down. Wow, that spaghetti smells good. It looks good. And she walked over and dropped his spaghetti and meatballs in his lap. You know what he said? Oh, you found the pigs. Now, there's a point that we learn, I want to do people right so that I don't make them have to come back to me and say, you didn't do this right. And so you and I want to say to the Lord, Lord, search me. I want to do things right. Would you help me? Now notice the next part of it. It says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, Lord, lead me in the way of righteousness. Lead me in the right way. And that is you listen to the Holy Spirit as he rules in your heart. So is there peace in your heart right now between you and the God of heaven? Something happened yesterday with your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister or last week or at work. Look, there's a lot of people that lose a lot of sleep. There's a lot of people that live a pretty miserable life because they're up and down. They let peace rule sometimes and then not. I don't like what they did to me. So they let bitterness rule a little bit. They let lustfulness rule a little bit. They let covetousness rule a little bit. And so the Lord said, look, let the peace of God rule in your heart, where you and God agree together that everything is right. Do you have the peace with God? And do you have the peace of God? Both of them you need to walk with the Lord. But then there's one last piece I want you to notice, if you would. Romans chapter 14. Turn me, if you would. Romans chapter 14. I want you to notice this. Romans 14. Notice, if you would, Romans 14 and verse number 19. Says this. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You see, when you're following peace with other people, so there's a peace with God, salvation, a peace of God, that's holy living. And then there's a peace with man, and that allows you and I to help other people grow. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19, wherewith one may edify another. If there's something that you've got against somebody else, you've stopped them from growing if they know about it. If you harbor bitterness or something towards someone else, you've got to make it right. Otherwise, it'll ruin your heart. It's like a cancer. There's stage 1, 2, 3, 4 cancer. Somebody tell me what's different between stage 1 and stage 4. Somebody tell me.
It gets worse.
What's that?
It gets worse.
Oh, stage 4 is worse. It's gone unnoticed for a while. That's the reason a Christian never wants bitterness to go unnoticed. So we always say, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I want all the bitterness out. I want all the lustfulness out. I want all the covetousness out. Lord, the peace of God helps you keep peace with man, because you can't have the peace of God without having peace with man. So he says, look, I want you to follow after the things which make for peace. What are they? Speak to other people like you want to be spoken to. Forgive other people, even though they don't deserve it. Isn't that what we want? You know, I really want DC to forgive me, even without paying $150. I doubt that they will, but I'd like it. So if I did something to you, I'd like for you to forgive me, even if I didn't know it. And if you said something to me about it, my prayers, my heart would always be humble enough to say, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? Peace with men. Do the things that make for peace. Notice what he says in verse number 19. He says, let us therefore follow after. Dioko, this is not just to go like this. You know, it's not just to meander after. This word Dioko is to charge after it. It's to run. I want to make sure I do the things for peace. That's important. Many a home is wrecked because both parties don't charge after peace. Notice, if you would, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. What things make for peace? Forgiveness? An apology? Conscientious living. I'd rather not make the mistake in the first place. But if I did, Lord, show me so that I can make it right. If I don't want to make it right, stage one, bitterness, stage 2, bitterness, stage 4, bitterness. Oh my goodness. There's some things you can't recover from because you let it go there too long. It'll shorten your life. It'll stop your usefulness. You know, I remember growing up, young man, I remember hearing my parents argue for the first time. I was about 13 years old. I remember what I did. I went to my bedroom and I closed the door and I got on my knees and I wept and I prayed for the Lord to forgive my parents and to help them get it settled. You know what I found out? I can't pray for Rick Clark to get his heart right. I can, but I can't make him let peace rule in his heart. I can't make anybody in this room let peace rule in your heart. I can plead with the Lord, and I'm supposed to do that. But you have to let peace rule in your heart. And that may mean this morning you need to be saved. You need the peace with God. That may mean you need the peace of God. You've been saved, but that's what he said in 1 John. He said, my little children, I ask that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. But you got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. There's a subjective thought there you may not be willing to. And it's at stage 1, say, Lord, I'm sorry. It solves things a lot. Many a marriage was wrecked because someone didn't repent of their sin at stage 1. It went all the way to stage 4. Wrecked them, cost them a job, cost them friends, cost them family. Folks, today, if my parents could go back, if my dad could go back today, I can promise you he would say this. Son, I wished I would have let peace rule in my heart rather than own pride. I wish I would have said, Lord, search me and lead me in the way of righteousness. Today, could I ask you this question? Are you being led by the peace of God? Is it ruling in your heart? If it is, you can have the peace that lets you sleep at night, the peace to have a joyful spirit, and the difference to make a testimony in other people's lives where they say, I'd like to be like him. Do you let the peace of God rule in your heart? It's a choice. I can pray for you, but I can't make you do it. You know, I have family members that when COVID hit, they refused to get out. I understand that. 2 years, they never left their house. 2 years, they had food brought in. 2 years, they did. And then when COVID was over, they still refused to get out. They were afraid that something might happen bad. The end result, they died because of inactivity, congestive heart failure, and they died. You see, you let peace rule in your heart. Do the things you ought to do. Doesn't mean you always got to go over here and go this, do that, but you and I have to do the things that the Spirit of God says to us to maintain the peace of God in our hearts. And you can make an eternal difference. If you let it go to stage one, stage two, stage three, it will shorten your effectiveness. And it could eliminate you from serving the Lord. Please, this morning, the sweetest Christians on the face of the earth are those people that let the peace of God rule in their hearts. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Would you forgive me? You know, I've already asked the Lord to forgive me for driving in D.C. and I asked him just to remove the place off the face of the earth so I can't get another ticket. No, I didn't do that. Lord, give me wisdom that if I ever have to go down there again, I'm even more careful. You know, today, all of us, search me, oh God. Will you do that this morning so that you can leave these doors with the peace of God ruling in your heart? Let's bow our heads forward to prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Folks, today, nobody can make you do right. But you know, I found out nobody can make you do wrong either. Men have died at the stake because they wouldn't deny Christ. You can't make people do right. You can't make people do wrong. Today, could I challenge you? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Lord, I pray that you would touch every heart. Lord, those that are here not sure of heaven, give them the peace with you. And Father, those of us that from time to time we do step out of line, Lord, we do things that we don't think about, or Lord, would you help us to offer you, search me. And then, Lord, help us to apologize, to make it right. Father, give us your peace. Help us to let it rule in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.